When was the last time you heard some good news that inspired you to act? When was the last time you heard something so good that it changed the way you lived? Introducing the X2O Steam Cleaner. The X2O Steam Cleaner will revolutionise the way you clean. It's great, isn't it, now that we've got digital TV, we get all these channels that just have ads on them. The infomercial channels, they're great. Our kids love watching them, or Carly does anyway. Devoted to selling stuff to you that you probably don't really need, but by the end of the ad you will. You'll really need them. Lots of things for you. Exercise, the Ab Doer, the Ab Circle Pro, the Ab Wave. If you want abs, you just go and look on these channels and you'll find something there for you. But the girls saw this X2O Steam Cleaner, the ad for that. They were talking about it one night, and they said, we need one of those to help us clean the bathroom. I mean, look at the incredible results that you get when you use the X2O Steam Cleaner. It will change the lives it will change my life. I became convinced of this. It's going to change, revolutionise my life. Well, not my life, but the lives of those who do the cleaning in our house. And if I act now, I'll save $70 off the price for a limited time only. And I was thinking about this, you know. You might laugh at me, but I was actually considering buying one of these things. I was almost about to part with my hard-earned cash because I was so inspired by the good news. I was inspired enough to want to act. Now, the Christian message is a good news message. And it's not just good news, it's a life-changing message. X2O mops will come and go, and they do come and go very quickly, which is why I didn't end up buying one. But what makes the Christian message so life-changing by comparison? What makes it so different? What makes it so worthwhile? Well, that's what Paul's talking about when he writes to Timothy in this part of the chapter that we're looking at today. Paul, as Martin was explaining before, was a great missionary, but he'd been locked away in prison because of preaching the good news about Jesus. It was a very unpopular thing to do in those times. Christians were being fed to the lions. Christians were being burned at the stake. And to be a Christian preacher meant that you really put your neck on the line. And Paul had been locked away. He'd been imprisoned for his preaching. And he wanted to write to young Timothy, his young apprentice, who was living in Ephesus, and encourage him. And so you see there, if you have a look at verse 8 in the Bible reading there, he says, don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Don't be ashamed to tell people about Jesus Christ. But he is saying it is going to be hard. You will go through hard times if you want to spread the good news about the Lord Jesus. There is suffering involved, and he knows all about that. But you've got to ask the question, what would motivate someone to be willing to go through hardships and suffering for the message about Jesus Christ? Hopefully you've got a blue sheet of paper that you were handed on the way in, unless you missed out at the end, but that's got this question up near the top there. What would motivate someone to be willing to go through hardships and suffering for the message about Jesus Christ? Why was Paul happy to suffer in order to proclaim the gospel, the good news? And the reason is contained there in verses 9 and 10 for us. The reason is that this gospel is so good. Have a look at verses 9 and 10, what he says there. End of verse 8, he says, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And we're going to take those two verses apart a little bit and have a look at why this gospel is worth suffering for, why Paul would go through hardships in order to suffer for the gospel. And the first bit is those first four words about God, who has saved us. God has saved us. We are in grave danger because we cannot reach God's standard of perfection. And so we were destined for hell. We were slaves to sin. But God has saved us. He has rescued us through his son, Jesus. Now, we all love a good rescue story. You love a good rescue story? I got one on email during the week. It's about a lady from Poland in the Second World War, and her name was Irina Sendler. And Irina Sendler, during World War II, she got permission to work in the Warsaw Ghetto, like the slum area of town, as a plumbing and sewer specialist. Does she look like a sewer specialist to you? No, she doesn't. What would drive a woman like that to get a job in a ghetto as a sewer specialist? Well, she had an ulterior motive. You see, she knew that the Nazis had this plan for the Jews to wipe them out. And during her time of working in that ghetto, she managed to smuggle children out in the bottom of a toolbox in the back of a truck. One by one, she would smuggle children out of that ghetto. She saved 2,500 kids from being exterminated. That's a great rescue, isn't it? What an amazing woman. Not only did she save 2,500 kids, in the end she was caught. The Nazis broke her legs and her arms and beat her severely. She suffered for what she was doing. What a story of incredible bravery from this one woman saving 2,500 kids. But think about that in comparison with the gospel. Jesus has saved billions of people who have put their faith and their trust in him, given their lives to him. Jesus not just tortured, but executed in the most cruel way possible. But his death took away our sin. We are saved. God, it says, who has saved us. This gospel that Paul is suffering for is such good news. God has saved us. But it's not just good news. This gospel is life-changing news. Look at the next phrase in that verse. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life. See, God has called us to have lives changed. To give up being slaves to sin and instead be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants your life to be completely different. God wants you to dedicate your life to Jesus. It's not just good news because we've been saved. The gospel isn't just good news, it's life-changing news. And it can change your life and my life. It's not just life-changing news, though, it's radical news. It's very radical news, this gospel, because of what he goes on to say. God who has saved us, called us to a holy life, in verse 9, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus. You see, this salvation that God has brought to us is not, as we've heard already this morning, it's not because of anything we have done. God decided to give us this gift of salvation even though we don't deserve it. What have you done to deserve being rescued by God? I've asked people this question in the past. I've had lots of different answers. What have you done to deserve being rescued by God to go to heaven? And the answer's, well, I've tried to do my best to keep the Ten Commandments. That's not enough to deserve God's salvation. I've tried to bring up my kids with Christian values. That's not enough to deserve God's salvation. I go to church religiously. It's not enough to earn God's salvation. I donate money to charity and help people whenever I can. That's not enough to deserve God's salvation. See, God's not up there looking down to save people who think they deserve to be saved. God is going to save who he chooses. It's his purpose and his decision. This is radical news because it's different to the way most other people think about God and different to every other religion. If you're a Muslim, you would have a whole list of religious duties to fulfill. Richard's going to show them to us. There's five pillars of the Islam faith. If you perform those five things well enough, then Allah may be happy with you and he may grant you eternal life. But you can go through, the Muslims know very well, you can go through your whole life keeping those five commandments or those five areas of life, doing what Allah wants you to do, and you still may not get eternal life because you may not have done them well enough. If you're a Buddhist, you have to follow the eightfold path of enlightenment. You have to have the right view, the right intentions, the right speech, the right action, the right livelihood, the right effort, the right concentration, the right mindfulness. And if you manage somehow to get all of those eight things right at the same time, then you may be okay. You see, every other religion says there is a list of things you have to do in order to make God happy with you. But Christianity is radical news, because it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not when we were good people Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he goes on to say, while we were his enemies, Jesus reconciled us. Not while we were being good, while we were his enemies, Jesus reconciled us. You see, this is a gift of grace, God's grace to us. We are saved only by God's grace. This is radical news. But it's not just radical news. This is essential news. Because look at what it goes on to say about what Jesus has done. Verse 10. Now, this grace has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus has destroyed death, and he's given you life and immortality. This grace comes through Jesus. It's been fulfilled through Jesus. And he's destroyed. You know, death is a very powerful thing, isn't it? It's very powerful just on a personal level when we lose someone we love, because death separates them from us. And it causes a lot of grief and pain. But death is much more powerful than that, because death can cut us off from God forever and stop us from knowing the eternal life that God has for us. But Paul says Jesus has destroyed death and brought life and immortality. He has destroyed the power of death to take you to hell. He dies for our sin. An innocent man dies for my sin. He has destroyed the power of death in my life. Sin no longer has power over us. Death no longer has power over me, because I belong to Jesus and he has died for my sin. There is no death due to me. There's no debt that I owe death. Once we've just had Legacy Week, haven't we? And people have been selling Legacy badges down the street, Legacy pens. Who bought one? Oh, not many, a couple of us, okay. And I was in Corindai one time when it was Legacy Week, and I was going down the main street, and there was a guy there who I know very well, good friend of mine, and he's very involved with Legacy. And he was selling this stuff. And I went up to the table, and I had a bit of a look at the gear, and I said, I'm going to buy one of those pins, those $5 pins. And the ladies, they go, oh, thank you so much. You know, it's very generous. And I was feeling a bit proud of myself. I'll take one of them. And reached into my wallet, and $1.25. A big problem at that point. I have a debt that I owe, and I couldn't pay it. I'll go to the bank. I'll be back in 5 minutes. I'll do it. My friend just slowly pulled a $5 note out, whacked it on the table. The man who was selling the pins bought a pin for me. I had a debt that I couldn't pay. He paid it for me. That's a very simple illustration of what Jesus has done. In a much more powerful way, I owed a debt to death. Death had its power over me. Jesus pays the price. He dies. And death no longer has any power over me. Jesus has destroyed death. But not only that, he has brought life and immortality. Not immorality, thankfully. Sorry, Martin, I had to get that one in. He has brought life and immortality. I'm going to ask you the question, are you immortal? I'll start by asking you, are you immoral? Okay, there's a few people putting their hands up. Good, it's good to see. Well, it's not good to see. But here's the question. Are you immortal? Hands up. Excellent. It's great to see people who know that they have received the gift of life and immortality through Jesus. You should all have your hands up if you trust in Jesus. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, you have been given life and immortality. This body will die. Don't worry about that. This body will die. But we are promised a new life with a new body in God's new world. Next week, or in a few weeks' time, in the Rugby League Grand Final week, they're going to announce a Rugby League immortal. At the moment, there's 7 of them. Clive Churchill, Bob Fulton, Reg Gasnier, Johnny Raper, Graham Langlands, Wally Lewis, and Arthur Beetson. The Rugby League immortals. And in 2012, they're going to announce who is the next immortal. How did these guys get to be immortal in the rugby league world? Well, they were judged by a panel of experts and voted on and declared by that panel of experts to be immortal. But really, what is immortal about them? It's only their memory, their reputation that is immortal. They are still men subject to death. But Jesus has brought immortality to ordinary people like you and me. This body will die, but we will live on with a new immortal body. This is absolutely essential news, because without it, the best we can hope for is a gravestone that says RIP. Rest in peace. That's the best we could hope for. But this is a sure hope. I want to put this verse on my headstone. Kids, you listening? I want to put this verse on my headstone. Verse 10. Jesus Christ has destroyed death and brought life and immortality. How much better is that on your headstone than RIP? Paul says, I'm suffering for this, but it's great, isn't it? It's such good news. It's such life-changing news. It's such radical news. It's such essential news that I'm willing to suffer for it. And I'm going to keep on going. I'm not ashamed to keep on going. And have a look there in verse 11 and 12. It says, and of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Why is he convinced about this? Because he knows the one he believes in. This is not just a set of beliefs that you believe. It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. He knows this Jesus that he believes in. He knows that he is trustworthy to hold on to this gift of immortality that Jesus has waiting for him on that day. He's convinced because it was a gift of grace to him in the first place. He didn't deserve it, but God gave it to him. Now, I was really hoping this year that someone would buy me a ticket to the grand final, to the rugby league grand final. But I was thinking about this the other day. Imagine if someone bought you a ticket to the rugby league grand final. Someone who lives down in Sydney. They ring you up. I bought you a ticket to the grand final. Okay? I'm going to hold on to that for you, and I'll meet you outside the gates on the day of the grand final, and we'll go in together. Now, you're taking a risk at this point. There is a risk. There's a risk that this guy who's bought you the ticket might go and give it to someone else. He still holds it. You don't have it in your possession. He might give it to someone else. Or there's a risk that he might forget and not turn up to the game and leave you standing outside the gates. Or there's a risk that he might turn up to the game and go in without you and leave you standing outside at the gates without a ticket. Can you trust him? I think you can, can't you? He's paid a big price for that ticket, and he's given it to you not because you deserve it, but because he wanted to give it to you. Why would he turn his back on you? This is why Paul is convinced that the gospel is such good news, because he knows that Jesus is trustworthy to keep that gift of life that he has waiting for Paul until that day. And Jesus won't forget. He won't give the gift to someone else. He won't go without Paul. Paul is convinced that Jesus is waiting for him, because he has promised to. You see, this is great news, isn't it? It's good news. It's life-changing news. It's radical news. But it's also essential news. We need to know this gospel. We need to know the promises that the Lord Jesus has for us. Because this life-changing gospel truth is the heart of Christianity. Lots of people have a watered-down view of Christianity, a watered-down version, and they live by that watered-down version of Christianity. And unfortunately, they've missed out on the best part. You know, Christianity can become a watered-down version like this. I'm a Christian because I live by a set of good values. You know, I keep the Ten Commandments, I do unto others, I love my neighbour as myself, I don't judge others. That's it. But that's a completely watered-down version of Christianity. That's just the moral values side of it. Here's the good news. Here's the essential news in the gospel, that God has saved you, not because of what you have done, but because he wanted to, because he loves you. Don't miss the heart of the message. Don't miss the essential part. It'd be like taking an expensive bottle of wine, okay? Grab an expensive bottle of wine and then dilute it with 3 bottles of water. You've missed out. You've missed the good stuff. You've watered it down and you're only getting a faint taste of what it could possibly be. This is life-changing news. Make sure if you have any part of Christianity, it's this part, because it's the essential part. What's your version of Christianity? What version of Christianity do you live by? Is it the good morals bit? Or is it the good news of the gospel? The life-changing, radical, essential good news that Jesus has for us. Have you looked deeply into the salvation that God offers us? Have you tasted the grace, the great gift of grace that Jesus has for us, that we don't deserve, but that he's given to us anyway? Has your life been changed? Have you become devoted to Jesus? Has this good news from God inspired you to a life of purpose and hope and joy? Has it changed your life? X2O mops will come and go. And they do come and go. That's why I didn't buy one. Because I read the internet and they say they only last for 6 months and they break down. $200 down the drain. X2O mops will come and go. But this good news will change your life forever. Forever. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the salvation that you have brought to us through Jesus, for the free gift of life and immortality that we have by believing and trusting in him. Father, we pray that you would help us not to accept any watered down versions of Christianity, just good values to live by, but Lord, that we would accept the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, our King, has died in our place, died to save us. Father, please help us to know this good news and to live by it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.